That's Jesus. That's me. I am lost and undone. And I seen who he was, and I did just like this guy. I had to do a look around. Does anybody else know that this is here? Does anybody know this is available? Because I didn't think it was available to me. You know what it says about this man? It says he goes and sells everything. Everything. There's no person in his life that he wouldn't say, you got to go. There's not a person in his life who he would say, look, I'm in love with Jesus and he's in love with me. I have found him and I'm selling out to him. If that person says, I don't want you to do that, you have to go. You have to leave my life. There's not a job. There's not a place where, hey, if you become a Christian, a born-again believer, then guess what? You can't be here working. Well, I'm going to have to quit this job. Because there's no livelihood that's better than this. There's no education. There's no relationship. There's no thing that you're going to have. There's no plan. Some of y'all in this room, you have a plan. Some of you young people in this room, you got a plan. I had a plan. It was terrible. But I did have a plan. Some of you have a plan so big in your life. You've got it etched out. It might not be going the way you think it's going to go, but you got a plan, and you've got a plan for your kids. You got a plan for your grandkids. But God. God don't care about your past plans, your present plans, or your future plans. And if you ain't willing to give them all away, you still ain't met the treasure yet. Man, I'm going to tell you right now, when I met Jesus and I found him on August 28th of 04, shortly after that, you know what I told him about my plans? God, I will throw all my plans away and I will adopt your plan. Because your plan is way better than my plan for life. Your plan, it only takes care of this life. It takes care of the life to come. Amen? If you ain't met nothing like that, if you're still in your own ambition, if you're on your own way, if you're going to live in your kind of house, your kind of job, your kind of car, your kind of the way people see you and approve of you, listen, to this, you need to get Jesus, because once you get Jesus, people disappear. Their approval or acceptance or thinking of who you are really don't matter. And some of y'all need Jesus right now. Come get that. Some of y'all are too caught up in what everybody else thinks. Man, I loved when I got saved. Praise God. He gave me a covering that he said like this. He said, I accept you. I have called you. The Bible says, I have called you and I have ordained you. When I first got saved and born again and then I started preaching, people would say stuff like this. If you would calm down and do right, you could go into big places. So if I just do what everybody else is doing, I can get into some great big places for God. And they're like, yes, absolutely. But I thought that was funny because I said to myself, ain't that amazing? How am I going to get in great big places with God if I already met with God and he called me and ordained me? I've got to come down to anybody I'm going to deal with from now on because I've already met with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And some of y'all think like this. I don't think of big people in big places. Here's what I think. I throw me in with the most broken of the broken. Throw me in the cave of Adullam, amen? With the debtors, with the crazy folk, with the people that can't get to have a bad name, the people who say, man, there ain't no good up there in the cave of that Adullam. Think about that with David. David had 400 men who went into the cave of Adullam, and they were destitute. They were people that nobody else wanted to minister to. David said, I'll take them. And you know what else was in that cave with him? You go back and study this out. You know who else was in the cave with him? This will blow your mind. His family. Never mind. Some of y'all can't live in a house with your family, more or less a cave. Amen? All of his brothers that were passed over for him to be anointed the next king of Israel walked off in the cave and said, will you be our leader? Amen? How about that? If you can get one of your family members to follow, you're doing something big. Change. Sell out to God. Sell out to Jesus. Give up your future plans. Give up your present life. Give up your past. Some of y'all live in the past. Some of y'all think more about the past than you do the future. Some of y'all are living out the rear view mirror of life, and you are wrecking the forward driving of your life. Some of y'all are not looking out the windshield of your life. You're talking about a time in the past, and God ain't back there anymore. He's with you and going with you forward. Well, back in the day, it was so good on this mountain. Back in the day, this mountain used to be. Back in the day, this church. This church ain't back there. It's right here. Praise God. We're going to do big things with God today. But what you have to do is, I resign to you. I resign to you, Jesus. I like what he just said there. He says, he went and he goes, he sold all that he had. All that he had. And he went for joy and sold all that he had, and he bought the field. Have you got the field yet? Because that's the second part of it. Some of you are you saved, born again? Man, I'm telling you right now, some of you are saved as you can be, but you ain't took the field up yet. See, you get Jesus, and right past Jesus is doing what you're supposed to do for him. So you know what he did? Where he used to live and where he used to dwell and the place he used to hang out, he bought this field. He sold everything. I guarantee you, when he sold it, Charlie, you know what they said? You know what his mom and daddy and his friends said? You're crazy. We don't know anything about that field. We don't know anything about that life. We don't know anything about what's going to happen over there if you go and get into that field. I could preach this way. You've already got a field of expertise. Why don't you stay there? Amen? Some of you have chosen, this is my future path, and if I stay on this, I can have the right amount of money, I might get the right wife or the right husband, and I'll get the right house, and everybody will look at me and they'll say, man, what an awesome person. Praise God, that is a lie from the devil to you to find out when you get everything you're supposed to get, check every box you're supposed to check, and you get to the end of that, you'll be standing there going, I'm miserable, lonely, bitter, because none of it satisfied me. Nothing satisfies your soul like Jesus. And that field, my God, when you look in that field, I remember, it was about 2005 when I got in the field. 2005 into beginning of 2006 when I accepted my calling to preach. I accepted my calling in 2007 to go full-time ministry into a boys' home. I'm going to tell you right now, God's field is crazy looking. You stand there looking in that field and you're going, man, I think I see a home with six boys that ain't ours that are about to be. Oh, yeah, on top of that, while you're running that boys' home with six knuckleheaded boys, you're going to raise your two kids too. What else could we do, Lord? I'll do anything. Man, I want the field. Oh, yeah, while you're in the field, I want you to take over Macedonia Baptist Church. Wow, that's awesome. I get to pastor a church and run a boys' home and do a radio show. Praise God. This is awesome. Until you do it for about 2 weeks. When you come home from the radio show and the kids are cooking breakfast. No, God, never mind. Y'all ain't never seen seven boys cook breakfast. I'm surprised the fire department wasn't there. Then you take seven, eight kids to, you take them to church and you're pastoring while they're running in the pews. Amen? And then you get to come home and deal with that all day long and then go back and pastor again. When I went to pastor the church, I remember the first Sunday I went, I told my wife, I said, they've called me, want me to go preach. I think they want me to be the pastor there. And we were going to the most spiritually powerful church on the face of this planet. And I was like, I'm just going to go down there and preach and then I'm going to get out. I got down on the front row. Halfway through the service, they got into a fight. And I laughed out loud. I said, I ain't coming here. God said, yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. And I did for 3 years. Then you know what? God's so funny. I said, all right, Lord, he got me through that mess. And I mean, he got me through it. He drugged me through that ministry. I learned a lot. Then I said, all right, Lord, I'm good. What's next? Do I get to go somewhere great? He goes, yeah, you're going to go work with 30 recovering addicts. Great, Jesus. That was awesome. Did that for 6 years. Worked with men in recovery. Threatened, cursed out. Most of my friends at that point in time were recovering addicts. It was kind of awesome. It was an adventurous life. And then God. One November, somebody sent word. I think it's that gentleman back there in the right corner. Come heard me preach at a little church across the mountain and said, we're looking for a pastor. Would you come down? And I know exactly what I told him. I ain't pastoring your church. I will come preach. But I ain't pastoring that church. Going on 7 years. Amen. When you pick Jesus, when you pick the treasure, there's a life that comes with it. And that life, when you first get into it, you think, this is crazy. I can't believe this happens. But after you've been in it for about 17 years, and you've seen people delivered, you've seen people saved, you've seen people healed, you've seen the addict set free, you've seen one of those kids get married, raise his kids, you've seen that church prosper for 20 plus years after you've left. When you've done that and you look back and you think, my God, what a life there is with Jesus. About 2 years ago in this church, about a year and a half ago, I'm sitting here in the church. Matter of fact, it's last year. I'll get the numbers right, Melissa. I'm sitting here, and I was thinking about a year ago, sitting on that pew right there, is this the place for me anymore, God? Have I gotten to the place where they've gotten past me and I've gotten past them? God, do you want me to go somewhere else? You don't know what happened, but guess what? I don't know who told them to do it. Don't do it on purpose now, but all the kids in this church wrote me letters. And I began to read them. They were all 18, 19, 20 years old, 17, 16, 15, in that range right there. And I didn't even know that I was having an effect at all. And I began to read them. And I said, oh my God. I don't feel like a pastor. I didn't want to be one. But oh God, I'm so glad you allowed me to be the pastor of this church. To have these young people in my life. That was the start of it. Then I walked across the street in that same week. And y'all don't know this. I was in a very deep valley of not knowing where I wanted to be or go. Every single person in this church come up to me on one person after another and just started saying, I love you, Pastor. I appreciate you being here. And it blew me away. I told my wife, I got up and said it at that dinner. I got up and said, we're going to be here for a long time. Melissa sitting over going, I thought we were praying whether we're supposed to be here or not anymore. And I just said it. You know why? Because I don't know what God, he's got a crazy sense of humor. But this is what you got. August 28 of 04, I was like a man walking through a field. And I found a treasure. It was the greatest treasure I'd ever seen. And I totally sold out. And then God said, after a year or so of that, he said, I've got a life. I've got a field. Move into the property that the treasure is on and live your life. Some of you guys are missing an abundant life because you got the treasure. You just ain't got the life that goes with it. That's why some of you have a hard time remembering if you even got saved or not. And people are having to make up excuses. Well, I know they're saved. There was a time where they repented. There was a time they came to an altar. But there's nothing in your life that has evidence because you know what you did? You got born again and you got out of the will of God and you haven't been back in. What you need to do is say, God, forgive me of my trespasses. I'll turn from my sin and I'll live for you. Not just on a profession of something happened years ago, but I will live for you. There are people in this very room right now. You could float off the seat that you're on. Some of y'all want to come up here so bad and just say, God, I choose you. And there's some of you in this room says, God, I choose you again. Put me in the life that you'd have me to have. Let's all stand as they come get a song. Some of y'all shouldn't even wait for the song to start playing. God's been getting a hold of you since about 15 minutes ago. Some of you need to come and talk to the Lord Jesus this morning. Because what you had as a